Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Random. Alberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kindly for being here. Thank you so kindly for being a part of the program. Hey, you know, we are a team. We are a team, and Bridge MCP proves that we are, in fact, a team. You know, normally we start the program and we have El Señor Michael Rudnan. AVQ always have a whole lot of topics that he brings up, things that he finds interesting to him, which means it's usually interesting to us all. And he's off gallivanting, having a good time. And Bridge MCP says, well, I see Michael is not putting these things up, so I'll do it. Bridge MCP, welcome to Politics Done Right. Thank you so kindly. Leader of our PDR Posse, welcome aboard. Michael Rudnan, welcome aboard. Lisa Tanksley says, I knew it was coming. Of course, it's unconstitutional. Rose Williams, welcome aboard. Hi, everyone. Listening way from home on my phone today. Enjoy your mini vacation or whatever it is, my dear friend. Let's see. Nanette Bird Smith. ¿Cómo estás, amiga mía? Welcome aboard, Nanette. How are you doing? Anyhow, AVQ says, of course, I'm sure you know what it is by now. I'm still away from Facebook and politics. Quick share. We'll be mostly just listening from away. Look, we're just happy that you're listening, my brother. Anyway, Bridge MCP says, Biden's new mandate, the expansive rules mandate that all employers with more than 100 workers require them to be vaccinated or test for the virus weekly, affecting about 80 million Americans and roughly 17 million workers at the health facilities that receive federal Medicare or Medicaid also will have to be fully vaccinated. Biden is also signing an executive order to require vaccination for employees of the executive branch and contractors who do business with the federal government with no option to test out. That covers several million more workers. Excellent, excellent. Glad he's doing it. Rachel Maddow tells the story of how Cambridge, Massachusetts bar, Grendel's Den, whose case to obtain a liquor license over the objections of a neighborhood church was argued before the Supreme Court and won by Harvard Law professor Lawrence Tribe, setting a precedent that could put an end to the new Texas abortion law. And you know what is so interesting? And I think that's the reason Justice Roberts immediately went with the liberals. Because it is so obvious that if you hadn't a thought of that Supreme Court case, you have to ask, why are you on the bench? Or is it really that the bench for you is simply and entirely political? Which one is it? Because I'm sure Roberts probably knew, oh my God, there is a case here where the government tried to put into the hands of the private sector the decision making of what government should do. And in so doing, it made it illegal. Unconstitutional. Good catch, Bridge. Bridge also says the Justice Department is suing Texas over its near total ban on abortion, calling the new law clearly unconstitutional. It's a civil lawsuit. But what I'm hoping is that they simply put an immediate injunction on the law. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We'll see. So then Lisa Tanksley, of course, says, I knew it was coming. Of course, it's unconstitutional. But Lisa, we need to make sure it is declared unconstitutional so that we can move on. Exactly, it is constitution. Anyhow, folks, you know, right now the House is working on the $3.5 trillion deal. I tell you what, before I go to the $3.9 trillion, there's a piece that I was supposed to do yesterday that I don't think I did. It was about our corporate control of healthcare system. And why this all is, you know, Biden is going to talk about the vaccine today. And what's so hurtful is there is so much that could have been done. I'm not talking about by leadership, but I'm talking about by people. Yvette Avery Herod, welcome aboard. Buenas tardes. ¿Cómo estás? We should really not have had over 600,000 people dead. And it drives you crazy, the loss of all these lives, specifically those who were taking care of those who were irresponsible. But it happens. All of this is partially responsible for private healthcare system. All of this is partially responsible because, again, It's always about money over profit. Even these the misinformation that you see out there, I want you to ask yourself a question. Why would anybody just go out there and lie about these different drugs? Why will anybody go out and give misinformation to people to let them die? Or to possibly cause them to die or give them some medication that cannot solve a problem? It's yet another pump and dump scheme. Making money for folks. Ivermectin. Oh my God. Ivermectin. Let me adjust this volume here. Ivermectin is the thing now, man. And somehow, a lot of people's going to make a lot of money while a lot of men get sterile from taking ivermectin and kills quite a few other people otherwise. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. Anyhow, let me play that video that I did, and then we'll take it on the other side. Very often, I've stated that our economic system is a clear and present danger for all of us. And we get a good example when we realize that we all know how to make the vaccine. We all know that we could create a Marshall Plan to create factories. I mean, this stuff has been going on for 18 months. A factory may have taken a month or two to build. You know, China built a hospital a week for a while. So we could build factories around the world that mass produce this vaccine and got it into the arms of every single person on the planet who wanted it. We know most would. Most people don't fall for some of the shenanigans that we have allowed to occur here in the United States. So we have the wherewithal to do all of that. And why is it that we don't do it? Because our economic system has strangled us. We are dependent on patents that private corporations have, in as much as these mRNA vaccines were developed with public dollars mostly. And somehow, because of our economic system and lousy politicians, we can't say this is an existential problem for humanity, and as such, we will build factories throughout the world and ensure everybody is vaccinated against this pandemic and any subsequent pandemic that occurs. It should not be in the profit domain, because again, you have to go through the shenanigans as how do I make a dollar out of this? I mean, let's give a simple example here. To get the tests right now, cheap tests, we have countries that are charging $3.50. In Great Britain, you get it for free to check for whether you're infected with COVID or not, so that you can mitigate it before it becomes a problem. I want you to listen to this, and then we'll take it on the other side.
One tool we should be deploying at a much greater scale than we currently are is rapid testing. Earlier this year, the Food and Drug Administration authorized several rapid COVID tests for over-the-counter use. Then, as COVID cases fell significantly in the spring, Abbott Laboratories, one of the leading producers of these tests, reportedly began destroying inventory with a limited shelf life. According to the New York Times, workers were told to, quote, take apart millions of the products they had worked so hard to create and stuff them into garbage bags. Well, now, as infections continue to surge and millions of kids are heading back to school for in-person learning, demand for these over-the-counter tests are through the roof. And that is because they are a remarkable weapon for the COVID arsenal. For about $25 or so, the at-home antigen tests can deliver a result in about 15 minutes. Are they accurate? Yes. Not quite as accurate as the PCR tests, which are processed in a lab. Are they foolproof? No, but any form of testing is better than no testing, which is perhaps why some countries have been using rapid testing for months. England rolled out rapid home tests for everyone back in April. Just recently, Singapore's health officials said that antigen rapid test kits will be given to all households, as well as children and staff at kindergartens and preschools. The Netherlands is a place where they're making these fairly available. I've seen people taking pictures from other countries. This is a doctor posted a picture of them. Home self-administered 15-minute wait COVID tests available in an Amsterdam supermarket for about $3.50 each. I don't understand. We still don't have these in the U.S. The ones that Abbott Labs make are like $20 or $25, whereas in the U.K., they're free from the National Health Service. In the Amsterdam, they're $3. Singapore is getting them. How important do you think it is to A, scale up availability and bring down the cost?
Oh, it's the most crucial thing we could do right now. To scale up availability is what I've personally been calling for over a year now. These tests can be produced, especially the rapid antigen tests, like we were talking about, can be produced for very little money. And we're seeing across the globe that they're actually selling for $1 or $2. We could be doing that here in the United States as well.
Yeah, I mean, I read somewhere, I think per unit price cost production is around 80 cents.
Now think about it. We are in a pandemic. It is expanding. Things are getting bad. Something costs about 80 cents to make. And we are going to charge $20 to $25. About 2,000 times, 2,000% or 2,500% more. America, when you have a system that we cannot, you can't even do something worth saving humanity unless that guy makes a profit. I mean, it's so short-sighted. You cannot have a country that survives. Have an economic system that supports dying, because we the people have created the technologies to save the world, and because it is placed into private hands and allowed private companies to add value and patent the entire thing, that somehow we can survive if we allow a system like this to continue. All right, folks, I want to let you know something. On tomorrow, I'm supposed to be interviewing Yvette Simpson. She, I think you see her on This Week quite often, actually almost every Sunday. She really gives Governor Chris Christie a hard time when he tries to really get crazy with his right-wing stuff. She usually puts him in his place all the time. Well, I'm interviewing her tomorrow. I don't think I'll be able to turn it around for tomorrow, but I am sure we'll have it turned around for Monday, because I want to make it, you know, we are going to have a pretty darn good discussion tomorrow. So just a heads up, tomorrow we're interviewing Yvette Simpson, the Chief Executive Officer of Democracy for America, and we should have her either tomorrow or Monday. On that interview will play either tomorrow or Monday on the show. I'm not sure which one yet. Just a heads up. Keep in touch and keep coming back. Anyhow, let's see the person part. Egberto, you argue that private thing here via profit, but let Lena pick someone and give their company $11 million contract versus $7 million that was more suited for it. Again, you know, it's amazing. I love the interview that Lena Hidalgo gave to 11 News yesterday. She told Cagle, bring it on. Bring it. It's all politics. The only thing that I'm sorry about is that she stopped the contract. You know what? You know what big companies know how to do? Let me just warn you guys about this. Big companies know how to lowball prices for small companies, so that they get the contract, and after they get the contract, they have enough lawyers around to say, hey, this costs a little bit more than this, this costs a little bit more than that. When I worked for NASA, that was the biggest scam that I saw. The companies that won the contract lowballed the contract. And after they lowballed the contract, then they went and asked for more money, and they found loopholes to actually get that money. Now, when it comes to the company that Lena Hidalgo chose, I wanted to speak to Lena about this. I will probably get a chance to bring her on sometime. But let me tell you something. You can lowball, you can have a company that lowball a voter registration or voter awareness that they were planning on doing, or one that charge what it really costs, and one gets the job done and the other doesn't. My contention is, not because you're cheaper means you're going to get the job done. You know, we used to have a joke at NASA that used to say, remember, these spaceships are built by the lowest bidder. And it was a joke, because it was like, assuming if it was really the low bidder, then how reliable could it be? Just a thought right there. Anyway, I love what Lina Hidalgo said. Bring it on. And I love the way she took it straight to him. You are lying. She didn't even ask a question. For those of you that's not in Harris County, this is sort of a local story about a contract that the most important person in the most powerful politician in Harris County, they signed a contract with a company to, I think it was voter stuff. And it turns out that it wasn't the lowest bid. And one of the Republicans wanted to raise hay about it, and it wasn't going to stand. Anyhow, let's continue. Petition Queen says, medicine for profit has always been wrong. People die every day in the U.S. because of the for-profit-driven healthcare system. And what is sad about it is the treatments that they're holding back from people because of cost. Too often, we are talking about things that we as Americans have paid to develop. But again, so many people don't understand it. Eric Hayes says, again, read. The lady was doing it out of her house. You really suited versus a science center and bring it well. Oh, wow. Many of us operate very good businesses out of homes. The actual piece of software that controlled testing on the Boeing, I think it's a 777 or 787, that I developed was developed in my home. And all those products I developed were developed in my home. And you know what? The ones that were developed in these high-tech places couldn't hold muster to it when you tested them one-on-one. So I don't know what you're trying to say. Again, that is a defeatist attitude by saying if you work out of the house, you couldn't possibly be as good as a corporation or whatever. So please, it doesn't compute. Petition Queen, do you ever hear the anti-abortion industry complex talk about their concerns for the murderous medical industrial complex? No, they don't. It's not really a pro-life institution. It is really a control a woman institution. Let's remember that. It's about controlling women's bodies. Controlling. And by the way, Eric, I read the article. There's nothing in the article that makes me think there's anything wrong or anything out of the standard of what Lina Hidalgo did. Absolutely nothing. You write down exactly what you think was done incorrectly. All right, let's see. Para ver. No spinning here. Let's see. Mike Cisak, Breach, so you're saying biologically that somehow that baby won't grow into an adult if left to the normal biological process. What is the normal biological process? I can take any cell out of my body and turn it into a clone of me. Okay, I can do that. Should I do that? Most of you pro-lifers, I don't call you pro-lifers. Most of you anti-abortionists. You're not pro-lifers. You're anti-abortionists. Let's get nomenclatures straight. Okay, let's stop calling those people on the right who want to abolish abortion pro-lifers. There is nothing pro-life about what they stand for. Remember that, please. They stand for killing. They stand for all these other things. They don't want to support policies that make people live. So please don't make the mistake and call those on the right pro-life. I am pro-choice, meaning a woman should choose whatever she wants with her own body. And I'm pro-life. I believe in life, your life, my life. The life of living human beings. Let's not anymore allow them to steal that moniker. Egberto, clothing human successfully, not as easy as you might think. Hypothetical, I guess. Oh yeah, it's. I'm not saying that we can do it right now, but everything is in there. Let's see what else we got here. Coming up. Deborah John, she accused me yesterday of not reading her stuff. I'm very pissed. I have my 15-year-old cousin vaccinated with both Pfizer vaccines, started school 3 days ago. Last night, my healthy cousin was taken to the emergency room, not able to breathe, infected with these F-bio viruses. What the use of these vaccines if I have my 15-year-old cousin vaccinated and ended up in emergency room infected with this bio viruses? I'm not listening to anyone. damn, these folks need to come clean with these bioviruses and capitalism vaccines. I'm not sure what you're saying, Deborah John, but statistical analysis, even if you're not in privy to what's out there, statistical analysis says the vaccines work. There's one thing about the science, and there's another thing about the capitalism part of the vaccine. The scientists always do their jobs because we're scientists. And we don't, you know, capitalism does its own, which in general is to rob, steal, and pilfer from the average American city, from people around the world, that is. Okay? So let's not mix apples with oranges. Let's be the same. Carl Cox, anti-abortionists don't believe life is sacred. The Duck That Quack says, agree with 100% anti-abortionists. What are they doing for kids and families here? Nada, niet. Egberto, we all know what she is saying. The bio part of the virus is the point. Don't know what you're saying. I am saying as well. I don't know what you have to explain what you really mean before I go ahead and say the wrong thing. Do you ever? No, I think I got that one already. I'm going to get another one here. These troubles are just symptoms of our current greatest national strategic challenge from E2247. If the U.S. wants to have democracy, even though it is most fragile, then what are we willing to do to have it? And my answer to you, E2247, what are we doing to have it? We are working towards keeping it or expanding it by doing what we're doing. Carcox, greed rules America, plain and simple. Too many Americans have the attitude that as long as I've got mine, bleep you. Also, too many people are ignorant, gullible. America is ruled by fear and ignorance. And I think the last sentence is more apropos. Because the part about too many Americans say, I've got mine, you get yours or whatever, I don't see that often. Most people that I know, if they have all that they need, they are mostly willing to share. The greedy folks are the capitalists that I find. I find those people that always want to play the stock market and always want to maximize some profit and never want to pay taxes. The greedy ones. Those are the ones that I find always say, I got mine, you get yours. And the unfortunate thing about it is, those are the people that have contributed the least to society. I repeat, those are the people that have contributed the least to society. Jeff Bezos, I've got mine. I can even buy a spaceship and a space program. Jeff Bezos did not, if you could see the entire history of Amazon, what you see is a psychopath that actually used all, with all the licensing and contracts belonging to him, profiting off of the backs of everybody, antiseptic slavery. And then everybody gives him the kudos. He doesn't know how to program a computer worth you know what. He's an electrical engineer. I'm a mechanical engineer. Now, he doesn't know how to do it. Most of the things that his company does, he doesn't know how to do it. But he's the one who reaps all the reward. You see, when we break things down in a particular manner, and this isn't money envy or anything like this, right? Because, like I said, most people are not like Jeff Bezos. People like Jeff Bezos who hoard money like that, they're psychopaths. For me, if I can pay my bills, my family can be happy, and I can go on a vacation here and there, I'm willing to give away everything else. I put it bluntly, most people that I know are that way. Even the rich people that I know are that way. So let's not make Gecko, remember Gecko from Wall Street? Let's not allow him and others that speak his language make it the norm for the American population, neither right or left. Most people, like I always say, are good. Left or right, most people are good. The problem is that most people as well don't have the fortitude, they don't have the worth, the feeling of worth that let them understand that Jeff Bezos has nothing over them. Bill Gates have nothing over them. Bill Gates had a path. And it is about understanding that all of us have equal access to humanity. And not only that, but we have just as much worth as those billionaires. In fact, many of us have more because we are able to provide more to society than these guys moving papers and moving billions. And if I could get most to understand our worth, then money would mean nothing. Yes, we need money to move around in society. But the people who defined how society worked, how you can make money off of money, how capital gains is taxed at a lower rate than regular money, those people that rigged the system. You know what I call my book, How to Make America Utopia? Take away the economy from those who rigged it. That second part of the title of my book is important. Take away the economy from those who rigged it. In other words, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, they are super, super wealthy, worth a ton of money, because of how the economic system is rigged for maximizing capital, minimizing work and worth. We have to understand those concepts, I beg of thee. All right, let's continue reading down. And if I miss you, just tell me, Egberto, you missed something. All right, let's see. What else we got here? I saw some more messages coming in. Amazon, let's see, AVQ says, getting people out of wage slavery into a slightly better form of poverty isn't good enough. Exactly, I agree. Amazon treats its employees badly, injuries galore. Bezos takes 98 cents out of every dollar earned. Yes, as a moral standpoint, anyone, this is AVQ now, everyone who works full-time should be nowhere near a poverty line. Absolutely so. And Bridge MCP says, call the variance what you will, it is still more contagious and dangerous than the flu. Absolutely so. Let's see, AVQ says, Carl Cox, it's nowhere near 98 cents out of the dollar, but I get your point. Actually, let me tell you, if you break it down as far as how much he's worth, and this isn't because of the earnings, but because of the earnings, the maximization of the value of his capital, I think it would be on the order of 98 or 99 cents on the dollar. Take a look at how much of that capital appreciation from his initial investment comes out. And you'll see, what percentage of the company he owns? I don't know. I don't quite recall. But if you break it down, you'll see that he gets the lion's share of it. But anyhow. All right, let's continue. We are at half the hour. Folks, if you are on YouTube, I want to ask you to please go ahead and click on that join button and please become a member of our PDR posse. We could not do it without you. We need 1,000 members. I think we've actually dropped to like 300 today because I think probably, you know, every so often a credit card doesn't go through with. I don't do this. This is all done by YouTube. So please go ahead and become a member of our PDR posse by clicking that join button. Alternatively, you can also become a patron. We also need 1,000 patrons and 1,000 YouTube members. So please go to patreon.com/patreon if you will. You can also help us out at politicsandright.com/YouTube. So join one of those, or you can also support us via politicsandright.com/PayPal. And all the forms that you can support this program can be found at politicsandright.com/support, politicsandright.com/support. You can get our books at politicsandright.com/books. A lot of this stuff that I was talking about, the economy and Bezos not being worth what he's really worth, etc., is in my new book. This one that's called How to Make America Utopia, Take Away the Economy from Those Who Rigged It. And it's an easy-to-read book, give a lot of essays in it. It's worth it. Please consider going to politicsandright.com/books to get it. You can get it in ebooks, meaning Kindle. You can get it in audiobook, or you can get it in the paperback. So please consider going ahead and get that, por favor, por favor. And likewise, you can shop at our store. Anything, if you buy our books at our store, I'll sign it and send you a sticker. Anyhow, let's continue with the videos. I have another video. This one is also important. This is Eddie Glaude. And this has to do with the Democratic Party and what it is that's really holding us back. So check this out. And by the way, anybody who clicked the join button and sign up right now, I'll put your name on the screen like I did for the signee that we had yesterday and kept it. I kept it up there for a while. But anyhow, check this out and then we'll take it on the other side from Eddie Glaude. The only thing that is stopping the Biden agenda right now, the agenda that most Americans want, the progressive agenda, are a few recalcitrant Democrats who forget sometimes, I believe, what they or what we are supposed to really stand for. I want you to listen to Eddie Glaude because Eddie Glaude tells an inconvenient truth and he does it tactfully. Check this out. We'll take it on the other side.
Roe has 60% support abortion in all or most cases. On all these issues, Democrats are in the more advantageous spot. They've got majority issues, 60%+ public support. Where do you think they go from here?
Well, I think at the end of the day, Nicole, Democrats have to turn their backs on that particular political actor that's at the heart of their political imaginations, it seems to me. You know, Democrats act like that scorned lover, you know, trying desperately to get the Reagan Democrat to love them again. And so at the heart of their political choices, at the heart of their political decision making, their strategizing is always this white, male, heterosexual, working class person, you know, that's always at the center of how they imagine their politics. What does it mean to shift? What does it mean to imagine your politics that actually reflects the deep diversity of the country, it seems to me? What does it mean to shift our conception of citizenship where it's more than just simply, it has this idea that the obligation of citizenship is just to consume, but rather our relationship to each other? What does it mean to imagine, right, a conception of the good that has everything to do with all of us, not just a small few? So it seems to me that if we're going to get past this, we have to shift the center of gravity of our political imaginations, and that's going to involve Democrats. Let me say this really quickly, Nicole. It's also going to involve us to finally leave behind this melodramatic view of politics where the villains are clear and the heroes are clear and the heroines are clear. Maybe we all are caught up in this mess, and we need to figure out how to get through this together, it seems to me.
I need you to say more about that.
Right. So oftentimes we think of our politics as, you know, the bad people are over there. The bad people are the Republicans. The bad person is Donald Trump. Joan Didion wrote about this, right? That all we need to do is banish them, get them out of the way, and all things will be okay. But what we're seeing in this political mess that is Washington, D.C., is that the problem isn't just simply Republicans. What we're seeing in our country is that the problem isn't just Donald Trump or power-hungry Republicans, that it cuts across all of these different lines. And if we move beyond melodrama and kind of get at the heart of the tragedy that's at the center of American politics and be honest with ourselves and grow the hell up, maybe we can get beyond this. But we seem to be content playing games, it seems to me.
So again, the problem isn't Donald Trump. The problem isn't the Republican Party. The problem is not that Democrat good, Republican bad. The problem is plutocracy, putting people against each other and having us make the wrong decisions. I know that's a little bit far-fetched. No, it's not. You see, the plutocracy only has to have the party that they consider good, the party that they consider bad, and have some bad ones in that party they consider good to muck things up. And in doing so, get nothing done. Just continue the status quo, what moves the plutocracy forward, that which continues to extract from us. Eddie Glaude said it quite well. We don't look at others as the enemy. We look at those who are supporting all of us, all, every single American. And if the Democratic Party would live up to that ethos now, then the problems would be solved. There will be or would be a $3.5 trillion infrastructure as a starting point. I want to quickly address two things, my two conservative brothers here. First, let's go to, who is it that I want to talk to? He said something, Eric Hayes. Let me tell you something, Eric. First of all, the $3.5 trillion bill that's being written is being written in a form that it's paid for. How is it going to be paid for? One, first of all, that $3.5 trillion, and I'm going to spend some time telling you guys this thing because you're going to have the lies from the right and the misinformation is going to be believed by many who believe that who are gullible enough to believe the information coming from the right side. So let me enlighten. The $3.5 billion is going to be so far paid for. If the progressive Democrats get to have the input in the bill like they say they have and they listen to also what the president says he wants, it's going to be paid for. And how is it going to be paid for? Remember, $3.5 trillion is over 10 years. So call that $350 billion. Right now, we are allowing $186 billion to go uncollected from rich people. And Republicans and centrist Democrats don't want to hire enough people to get that money back. So let's say they compromise and they hire enough to get just $75 billion of that back per year, okay? And then now we are going to increase the corporate tax also from the 21% scheme that Donald Trump did back up to, let's say, 30, 20, 26, 27% or whatever it's going to be. And there are some other taxes that we can raise from the people who have been pilfering of the American citizens. There is enough money, over $350 billion a year, to pay for the infrastructure bill. But then there's a give back here, right? Anybody who studies Economic 101, you know, the Republicans used to like to say, our tax cuts pay for themselves. But it has always been a lie. And it's a lie because if you put money, the tax cut is money into the hands of the wealthy has no reason to buy anymore. They can buy whatever they want, tax cut or not. They're wealthy. But if that money instead goes to the people of that needs more money, the middle class and the poor, that money lends itself into the economy immediately. How is that the case? Well, they're going to give childcare, which is expensive, but that money goes into creating more childcare businesses, and more those people that are hired are going immediately to pay more to buy more things. It increases the economy. They're going to give family leave. Right now, family leave is unpaid. So they go ahead and they give family leave. That's more money into the economy. So all these dollars that are taxed out from the wealthy, which have been hoarding money that they are undeserving of because they really didn't earn it, they're stealing it from those who work. All that money now goes back into the economy. And ironically, they even continue to they get back some of that money because of the increased amount of money circulation. My contention, though, is when that money recirculates, they shouldn't get a damn thing back because they're, in effect, antiseptic slave drivers. But that's another story, and that is for whenever people decide to really, really assert their worth to ensure that never again can the wealthy rip them off as they are doing right now. Because, again, the wealthy are generally undeserving. And I'm not saying that out of I am envious or anything like that. They're undeserving. I have already explained to you guys how easy it is to make money when you're in the capital class. And, you know, you got a product and you just have to chuck and repeat. But that does very little for the economy. Anyhow, the other person I want to do is Mike Cicek. So anyway, Republicans don't pay for their tax cuts. They don't pay for their spending because they don't like tax increases. Democrats have always been tax and spend. In other words, if we're going to spend it, we're going to tax and then spend it. Let's remember that. The people who have blown our budgets have been Reagan, Bush, and Trump. The people who have brought down the debt have been Obama, Clinton. Let's remember. Just go check the numbers. And let's also remember, economic activity is always better under Democratic rule than Republican rule. You don't have to take my word for it. Look it up. You don't have to take my word for it. Just look it up. The problem with Democrats is that, number one, they don't tell their story. And the reason they don't tell their story is they don't want their story to be told too often, because we also have a lot of centrist Democrats. And centrist Democrats understand that they are buttered. They owe themselves to the plutocracy as well. And they don't want to disrupt the plutocracy for a more equitable society. Please remember these things, people. Please, please, please. I beg of thee. And by the way, everything that I've said here, you can actually go check it up. You can actually check on it. Courtney, the SLP, welcome aboard. You got this. Happy Thursday, everyone. She says, Rose Williams, influenza is not a coronavirus. Let's see. Republicans move the politics to the right. Democrats hold the country in the new right until it feels normal. America is and has run by the minority. Correct. And that's what. But again, Peggy Lopez, what we have to do is we have to empower people. You see, a lot of people that are doing these things, they sit back and they think they don't have any power. We, all of us here, have to empower others and say things don't have to be the way they are today. And when we talk to Yvette Simpson, a progressive leader, a powerful progressive leader, who's out there kicking butt, including really putting Chris Christie in his place all of the times, you're going to see if we can empower people to assert their worth, we'll do fine. But it's going to take a while, because when you've been beaten down for a long, long time, it is very hard to come back. Debt, all debt, and that is sorry that they raised the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling must be raised because the money has already been spent by the people who, by Trump. So yeah, the debt ceiling has to be raised because the money is already spent. ABQ, the minimum requirement infrastructure investment to avoid climate doom. Republicans only ask, how do we pay for it? When it's a public good, never a tax cut for the rich, never military spend. That's true. They never ask. They just do it. 10 years, that is a lie that they tell you. The minimum requirement infrastructure investment to avoid climate doom is $5 trillion. Yes, and you know what? $3.5 trillion plus $1.2 trillion, close to the $5 trillion, but actually it's more than that, because a lot of that is not into green infrastructure. So I get your point, brother. Breach MCP, magnet hundreds of thousands, millions, and that's under 60. This thing has changed because of Delta. Last week, over 250,000 kids got the virus. Yes. Excess taxes are pilfering from the productive. Again, Mike Cisak, you are showing an enslaved mind, my brother. You are showing an enslaved mind. Okay, let's look at slavery. I'm going to break it down for you. Slavery is where you are able to get some people to do the work as you reap all of the reward. Now you are telling us that really taxing the holy hell out of Bezos, who has not done the work, out of Bill Gates, who has not done the work, all the employees that Bill create and all these things, they're the ones who do the work. Remember what I told you about capitalism? Master-slave relationship. How would that not be a master-slave relationship if they were paid commensurate with what the profit of what they've created? And when all of that profit goes to a few at the top, this person is an antiseptic slave. You can say, but they get a good salary. Yes, but their worth is being taken away by a few. You have to understand the concept. You see, we've been taught from birth this type of economy. So it is so ingrained in us that we find it hard to believe. Could we have been this stupid? Could we have worked so hard to enrich a few? Could we have thought so little of ourselves? Could we have had such an enslaved mind? Brother Cisak, I am with you. You're a farmer. Do you see what the Biden administration just passed or working on yesterday? Trying to make sure that all the price increases that have been going through in the cattle industry, in the food industry, you know who's been making the money in the tax increases? Not the farmer. not the cattle rancher, but ADM and the processors. They've been buying all the stuff from you guys for cheap. Capitalism. You're a slave. Now they're investigating, how can we stop that from happening? How can we ensure that these costs, that these supposedly inflationary costs, actually pays the farmer? I want you guys to think about it. Get out of your thought process, your enslavement. Because again, slave used to look like, it used to be a pigmentation thing we thought. Me, slave. That's what we thought of as slavery. But slavery was never a black thing. Slavery was always an illusion. It was just that the black thing worked harder than the next level of slaves. Which is you. If you can understand these concepts, we can work together like we should. And do what, again, as I say in my book, How to Make America Utopia. Whoops, right here. How to Make America Utopia. Take away the economy from those who rigged it. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. Egberto, what about the real tax on normal people? Ha, inflation and everything. Again, you're missing the point. Enslavement thinking. That is what we're doing. Prices of food and all of that went up. Why? Was it that it cost more to make the food? No. The processors started to make all. They decided to do it. Remember, whatever the market will bear and those who have the power. The pricing power. Listen to my video called Pricing Power. Remember when I gave you guys the story about my ComDRV NT product? I had pricing power, so I could charge whatever the market will bear. It had nothing to do with honesty or what it was worth. It was simply that I have pricing power, and most Americans don't have that because deep inside the economic system is flawed. It's flawed, and that's all we've learned all our lives. But let's see. We will all pay Friday or Biden again. Crony capitalism and economic policy works for the mega rich and mega corporation. Exactly. When Democrats run Congress, deficits are massive. Again, all you have to do is read. The data is out there. That's a lie. Just go read. Please, Mike Cisek. I think you still can read, sir. Please read. That's a lie. It's a complete lie. It's not even the biggest deficit we've ever had on a per GNP basis was when Reagan came into office. He cut taxes, increased the military budget, and increased spending. Biggest deficit we've ever had comparatively. Second one, El Señor Trump. Look, all you have to do is read and look at the numbers. Congress is who actually makes the budget get spent, not presidents. Reagan tax cuts, double tax revenues. Keep buying the lie. Eric Hayes, no, because they want to get trillions out of debt. Eric Hayes, Venezuela is making all the trillions being spent. Again, you guys need to learn about Venezuela. AVQ, heading out for a few minutes. Egberto, did you see my Facebook message? Guessing not. Check your FB messages after the show. You get a moment. I don't know which one you meant, but I look for it. Politicians take from those who have worked for their income. Who worked more for their income? Jeff Bezos? Or the guy who is delivering the truck and has to take a leak in a bottle? Please. Please tell me that. Mike says that we are slave to government then. No. You are the government. Remember I told you that you still have a slave mentality? You are the government. You have to assert your worth. But what you have done is allowed them to lie to you. You believe them and you elect those who screw you. You got to get away from that. Yes, Biden admin has been, let's see, variant of high consequences. Mu variant, a.k.a. lineage B1.621 or VU21 Joule 1 is latest form of SARS to be designated. And yeah, I heard that it has some problems with our vaccines. Okay, government out and freedoms in. Let's see, Mike Cisek says, Democrats push financial slavery through dependency. Again, enslaved mentality, Mike Cisek. Stay watching the program. I think we may get to you sometime. You'll see that the people that you so trust are your masters. The people that you so trust think so little about you. They think so little about you that they're willing to tell you stupid things and have you believe it. That's who they are. And I'm begging for you to not just listen to me. I am begging for you to listen to what I've said. Go and look at the raw numbers that you get and calculate the raw numbers yourself. You'll see that I'm right. Courtney SLP, I don't understand your comment about slavery, Egberto. How was it out and not about color? Okay, it is about... You missed a point, Courtney. Let me explain to you. Slavery, shackle slavery was about color. That part is true. In other words, you bring Africans over to the America because they look different than everybody else. We enslaved them, and there was an immediate difference right there. So you could know black person, slave. But my contention is one step above that, Courtney. You have the slave class, and then you have those who are also mistreated by the plutocracy, white people. Also mistreated by poor white people and marginally surviving white people. They are all attacked by the plutocracy. The slaves get zero. The plutocracy folk get some. And what keeps the people getting some better or keeping them in place is deep inside of their minds. They've been deeply and inculcated in their minds. At least they're not black. They could be black. So what they see, what the white person see, what the guy in Appalachia see, he's poor. He's no teeth. He's living in a trailer. At least he's not black. And that's what I'm talking about, all of us being enslaved. That guy with no teeth living in Appalachia, white guy with that, he's a slave, right? But he has been inculcated in his mind is, at least I'm not that guy. So things are better. And somehow I am so demoralized, I can't become the big shot plutocrat. But at least I'm not him, so I don't have to rebel against the system. My goal in life is to unite. And how do you unite? By showing the commonality and the experiment that has been placed on us all. Which is what happened, right? We created this pecking order for a reason. We have the guardians of, we have the plutocracy that nobody really, really knows. You know the big names, Bill Gates and all these guys that have grown into the plutocracy. But that is by invite only. I hope you all remember that. Being in the plutocracy is invite only. Even Oprah was invited, honorary white person invited into the plutocracy. That's what people don't understand. And then you have the guardians of the gate. The guardians of the gate are there to be the ones who control the media and all these other things that say, oh, these are the way things are. These are the way things are supposed to be. And the books that they write and all of that. And by the way, when progressives started to really expose all of this, when progressives started to say, it doesn't have to be that way. Lewis Powell, a Democrat, and that's why I've tried to tell people, this is not about Democrat or Republican. The Democrat and Republican paradigm is to keep us at each other's throat. The left and right paradigm is to keep us at each other's throats. When Lewis Powell realized, oh my God, we are making people intelligent now. The progressives are telling it like it is. We've got to infiltrate the churches. We've got to infiltrate the schools. We have got to infiltrate the people who write textbooks. All these things they started to do. They don't want to talk about critical race theory, because you talk about critical race theory inside of classrooms and all of that. Now, the people are going to start asking, oh my God, I didn't know that. And then they're going to start learning that it has less to do. Look, you know, race is one thing. Race is a stupid thing. I don't believe in race, but blackness is one thing. And yes, that was a delineation. But most importantly, it was a matter of keeping the masses under control. And by that, I'm not talking about black people. I'm talking about white people. Because that is that has been the bulk of society. How do you control the bulk of society in an economic system that screws most of them? You create that pecking order. And that is what's important, folks. All right, let's see what else I got here. Reagan also declared military enlisted person to be employed, so the unemployment rate immediately dropped. True. Egberto, if I am a minority vote to those control government, is that government still my government? It's not one I chose. A democracy, you know how I run. Very interesting drug breakthrough. Let's see. Daily Coast, this is a drug that might save the... I saw the article. I didn't read it, though. I'll check that out later, Rose. Good link, Rose. New drug. Peggy Lopez says, plutocracy meets annually at Bohemian Grove to burn care in effigy and see one another to begin the plan for meeting in boardrooms. Eric Hayes says, actually, you have an uprising of both sides matching each other. Dems and Republicans will be nasty to each other. Courtney says, okay, thanks, Egberto, for explaining. Miss the multifaceted answer. Slave class is equal to permanent underclass. Color divides those in the permanent underclass who think they're above others of the same. You're a smart woman. Yes, ma'am. And, you know, we have to understand, and that's why we have to work together, right? Because the race thing is stupid, but it's necessary for capitalism to succeed. We have a capitalist society has to be racist. It has to be it has to have a lot of isms to keep people fighting against each other so that we can make everybody the boogeyman except the slave master. And that's what we do. And that is what we do. So, I mean, I missed my last video with Katie Porter. I'll play the Katie Porter video tomorrow, but I think this was probably more important that I discuss this than Katie Porter. And Katie Porter video will come into play tomorrow. Anyway, folks, I thank you so kindly for spending this time for me. I thank you so kindly for allowing me to talk to you. I ask you, if you're on YouTube, to please click on that join button, become a part of our PDR posse. Alternatively, please consider becoming a patron. I need 1,000 members in each one. That is politicsunright.com/patreon. Or you can support us at politicsunright.com/YouTube if you're not on YouTube. Likewise, if you want to get our books, which I think it is time for you to get that book, How to Make America Utopia. Please get that book, How to Make America Utopia. And the reason I'm asking you to get that book, How to Make America Utopia, is a lot of what I talk about, antiseptic slavery, how we're all all these isms force us to be against each other, and capitalism and our economic system cannot work unless we have them. You can see a lot of those stories in that book. So consider getting the book at politicsunright.com/books. If you want to get it directly from me, where I'll sign it and also send you a bumper sticker with it, please go ahead and get go to politicsunright.com/store. Politicsunright.com/store. Look, thank you so kindly for spending this time with me. I couldn't do this without you. Please join us. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics and Right. And you know how I get out of this, baby. I am what? Out. We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.